Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the battle of sexes, the battle of forces between men and women. Be with us, Nitza, please. So, it's one of the most interesting topics which constantly occupy our minds. Depends whose minds. I think everyone's. There are those that want to be occupied with it, and there are those that want to run from it. Look, it occupies you in different ways. There is a constant interaction between men and women. So, we're talking about the battle of powers. Yeah, the battle of forces between men and women. Now, this battle of forces develops from a very young age, from adolescence and before. Yeah, we see it at the ages of 5, 6, 7. There's a difference between boys and girls, and there is already like a kind of a struggle and resistance and collision. Yeah, relations of attraction and rejection. There's a constant interaction between the boys and the girls, the men and the women, between these two all the time. And what's interesting to see is that this interaction throughout history, throughout the years, took on different forms. At times, it was more concealed, more hidden, the interaction. There were things going on beneath the surface. Today, we see that things are really in the open. We see that sometimes there are real struggles, a feeling of real hostility between the sides. And this is what we'd like to talk to you about. And maybe the first question is, we'd like to understand, how do the men and women develop this way through conflict, through power struggles? We're actually the most flawed, most miserable part of nature, really. Because all the forms of the still vegetative inanimate, they work according to the law that's operating in them. And a lion or an elephant doesn't have a question of how they behave. But it's clear. It's all according to the laws of nature that are controlling them. And everyone knows what he has to do and is working within that framework. And I think that their life is much simpler, undoubtedly. Now, humans have freedom. Humans that are more developed than animals, they're free to determine the right attitude between men and women. Like there are many other forms of behavior and approaches to life and nature and the upper force and life in general, something that doesn't worry animals at all, the animate level. And it also doesn't really worry undeveloped people who are also on the animate level. But more developed people have a problem. And they have to perform certain artificial actions and determine their relations in an unnatural way, instinctively, from what they know about the nature of men and women, the understanding of the state that we're in and the state that we have to come to. And out of that, they themselves have to build a relationship which will be similar to the relations that animals have, where nature is controlling them in a very decisive manner, so that between people, between the species, a person has to know how to make this completion as if it were done by nature. And for this, we have to learn many things. And not that we ourselves, without learning nature in depth, without knowing the nature of man, without knowing the state we have to come to in our development, because we see that we're developing throughout history on the axis of time. And also what kind of relations do we really have, meaning the nature of men and the nature of women, and why are we one way and not another, and what do we have to come to? And of course, we have to reach some kind of interaction, some kind of completion between us. And so I don't think that a person in our world understands anything about it. All in all, we're in diapers in terms of understanding the psychology of men and women and their relations. It all started developing a few decades ago. This is one thing. Another thing is that we know nothing about nature in general. The psychology which awakens in us, meaning the way we look at the world and at ourselves and life and the perspective, and we also don't see and don't understand the example, the image that men and women have to have in 100 years, in 1,000 years. Or in other words, we should at least have known, if not 1,000 years ahead, how we're supposed to develop in our relations. Then at least, what is the ideal relationship between men and women at every given moment in time? We don't know that. And correspondingly, we also see that we neglect our children and we don't know what to tell them. And every school, every teacher, every country, they have something of their own. It's very free. And these are the most important things, because this projects on our entire life, projecting confusion, to say the least, and many frustrations and problems, many of them tragic. And for sure, there is a great need for it, and the wisdom of Kabbalah has what to say about it. Well, for me, it's an entire world. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, let's try and understand. The power struggles between men and women is there in order to develop us, so that eventually, like you said, we'll reach some state where we'll understand of completion, of mutual completion. There can't be one without the other. It also says about it in the Torah. To begin with, that he created a man and a woman, two forces, suppose plus and minus, and each has to complete the other, and one cannot exist without the other, but this mutual completion is upon us to do. This is actually what life's all about. If there were no need for us to arrange the relations between us, then there would be no need for us to exist in this world, on this planet, at all. Meaning, life is in order for us to come to know how to connect in an ideal way, because by our completion, we reach our complete and perfect state. Because as it says, man and woman, divinity between them, meaning the upper force is revealed between them. Meaning only on condition that the man and the woman are correctly connected between them. Well, it's not only men and women, it's the concept of the man and the concept of the woman, this image which collects all of these qualities of the man inside it and so on, meaning the entire female principle and male principle, and the correct connection between us bring us to a state where we discover the upper force and eternal and perfect existence. So at least we already came to the state where we see that before us is the greatest problem, which is the central problem, that the entire world was created for this problem, for us to solve it, and by solving it, we will bring a solution to the whole of reality. So this actually explains why we're going through these power struggles all throughout life. Usually we want to run away because we don't understand what we have to do. And anyone can say that in their corporeal life, in their family life, they want to blur it as much as possible, cover it. It's okay, it's fine, even though on the inside there is an abyss of problems in the relations. And also we don't know what the perfect relations are. We're so opposed to each other, opposite to each other, that the entire life and all of our forces will not be enough to provide the other sex with what they demand of me. And a man, he's not meant for it at all. He doesn't want it. That's from the male perspective. And here has to come the correction. And also the woman, in her demand towards the man, maybe she wants to receive from him so much, so bad, and she really feels that she's so dependent on him that that also demands a correction. And not that she'll distance herself from him, leave him, but that she'll depict, build her demand towards the man also differently, towards the goal, towards something that does not exist in her at the moment. So, like you're describing, these attempts all throughout history to reach balance, the correct kind of completion, leads to different states. One of the things we see in recent years is the desire of women to achieve independence. They're distancing from each other. Yeah, there is a feeling of dependence, so I better become independent. And so there's a feeling of distancing. The question is, does each of these sides have to reach their independence? No, that's running away from the solution. Running away from the solution? Yeah. That's unisex, and that a person doesn't care how he lives. And suddenly, instead of understanding that inside our connection we reach a complete, eternal, special kind of life, specifically in our connection, instead of that, we see our connection as a problem that we have to escape in different ways. So, men separately, women separately, when we want, we meet. I don't mind whom to meet with. I don't care when and how. Whereas if decreasing the importance of our connection to sex, to sexual gratification, and that's it. And that's incorrect. Because here there has to be an emotional system, a system where we become as one soul in our completion, meaning on a completely different level than animals, than what the animate body needs. It's not that, God forbid, I'm diminishing or belittling it. A normal person has to have that, but we have to raise the connection between men and women to the level of the souls. Man and woman, divinity between them, meaning only for this purpose can we connect, because only in the right connection between us we can really achieve heaven. What did we have in heaven? The man and the woman were together. The Creator created them together. Then he threw them out of the Garden of Eden. How? That they started separating, distancing from each other, so they started distancing from the Garden of Eden. Reach this world, if we can come closer between us to become really as one man and one heart, we rise to heaven, to a state where we can feel an eternal and perfect life. That's how you reach heaven. I don't understand why people think that there is any other kind of approach about it. Humanity is really mistaken that they're thinking that by terror and by doing completely mechanical things. No. This is where we have to build the right relations between us, and specifically by them, and that's according to the Torah. we will come back to heaven, what is heaven, man and woman again becoming as one body meaning to live in one desire, and the Creator in that mutual desire. So why are we actually struggling with each other? Because we don't understand that principle. We're not thinking that that's the solution at all. Instead of solving the problem, we want to run away from it. Like kids, maybe a part of this game develops us anyhow. It develops us in a negative way, that we come to a point where the problem grows, pressures us to a point where today the family's breaking up, we're distancing from each other, we don't want a family, we don't want to have kids, and so on and so forth. So what happens is that we're distancing from the solution because we don't know how to solve the problem, and also especially because we don't understand that that is the main thing that we have to do. That were we to reach a solution, were we to come to completion, we would achieve an eternal and perfect life. It's not a joke. These words come very easily out of our mouth, perfect eternal life, but we don't know what their meaning really is. At least were we to feel in our corporeal existence here in this world, perfection. Meaning, really, heaven. Here and now, I want to take this word perfection, completeness, wholeness, that the sexes have to complete each other. All these are probably the optimal kinds of connection between the sexes. Until we reach this state, there's probably the very opposite side of it, which is war. Completion and lack of completion, war. I want to take a look at what happens in this war with each of the sides, once from the male perspective and once from the female perspective. Can you tell me, what does a man feel in this war before reaching the good state of completion that, as we understood, that being the goal, where we're still not there in that state of war? What, for him, is an achievement against the other side, against the women? And then we'll ask the same question regarding women. What for them is an achievement in this war before there is completion? What does it mean to win the war? I want to control the opposite sex. As simple as that. Because my ego doesn't talk any other way. Even if I love the other side, suppose if these are the kinds of relations we're talking about, what you're explaining now is from the male perspective of what an achievement is, that he wants to control her? Yeah. I'm also as if ready to bend and be controlled by her on condition that she understands how she has to control me. There's a great satisfaction about it, a great pleasure in it. It's like a child that allows himself to be pampered on his mother's hands. So, what does a man achieve in this war? And the same goes for a woman. There's no difference. Actually, both of them want to be in control. Both of them are egoists. Both of them, in different ways, want to control the other. What's unique about the way a man wants to control and the way a woman wants to control? It seems different. It's small egoistic differences. The essence of the control is the same. Each wants to be in control, to control. A woman, she wants to control the man more in terms of him serving her. The man wants to control the woman in terms of her serving him. We see it in life. Only that each of them expresses it differently. The man demands to have everything that he needs, as if a home. The woman is the home. And the woman wants for the man to constantly think about her, to be devoted to her, for her to be the queen of the world for him, and so on, obviously. But in an egoistic way. There's no point talking about it. That's obvious. It's simple earthly psychology. Okay, so in conclusion, each wants to control the other. Of course. And he said that there's no difference here. The man wants to control the woman, and she wants to control him, and so on. From the best possible ways of mutual love, like we see in our world, suppose, and throughout the entire spectrum of their relations, down to the worst possible relations. It's all in all two egoists that are in one place, and then there is a struggle between them. They have to connect between them, and the connection is a necessary one. Both the children connect them, and the property connects them, and also their different relations, and their social status connects them. And they're struggling. They're all the time struggling, each one for his own independence. What do you mean? Ask yourself, don't you want to be independent in the family? Of course I do. So that's it. And so does the woman. Only in a different way. Even though that she wants to depend on you, she wants for you to constantly be devoted to her, all the time around her. This is a desire that you cannot fulfill. The woman's desire is for the man to constantly fulfill her, to constantly think about her, care for her, for her children, for the home, that his entire life will be dedicated only to the family nest. The man's desire is to care for it in a certain way, but aside from that, he wants to feel that he is independent, not that dependent as the woman demands of him. So there is a conflict. Of course there is. What does the man want of the woman? The man wants of the woman to be devoted to the children and to the home, and that she will pamper him as much as possible without hurting his independence, without that, right, to let him be free. But and we also see it on animals. Okay, so, but this is on the level of this world, on the down-to-earth level. Okay, what weapons do they use? What manipulations? There's a very broad spectrum, starting with courts and prisons and human society and the police and everything, and up to relatives and children, and until they scrutinize it between them and the bedroom. It's really very broad. I mean something else. All throughout our show, we're talking about relations. The perfect state is mutual completion. Before that perfect state, there are conflicts, collisions. What we found out at the root of the conflict is that each side wants to control the other side. Now, in terms of interaction, what weapons does the man use? What weapons does the woman use? It doesn't matter. Are they different? They are different, but it's not important. I still want to say one sentence. We're in a state where they're running away from this war. They don't want this war. Therefore, they don't get married or get married late. And also today, the families are such that they're not that much dependent on each other corporeally wise. The government, society compensates for what the man has to give the woman, and the woman has to give the man, and the man thinks less about what the woman has to provide him with because there's a microwave oven, and there's ready food, and whatever you want. And also, the woman, even though that she's dependent on the man, but not that much, she has different appliances at home, that she's not 100% dependent on the man's physical help, but more on the mental support. They're distanced from each other. And this is the place to think that if we want to see a family and the right existence of humankind, and to understand that we have no choice, that man and woman, divinity between them, and this is something that we have to come to. So this is the place for education, to teach them how to come closer to each other. And this is the place for education. The place of this physical distance, this gap between men and women, this is the place that our integral kind of education, the education for the right kind of connection, has to start bringing them closer together. What is the main thing we have to understand about this education? Very simple. We have to take men, take women, and to explain to them what are they losing and what can they gain. What are they losing as a result of the distance, and what can they gain by, what can they benefit by the right kind of connection, and how to attain it. Where as a result of the right connection between them, divinity dwells among them, meaning the feeling of life, of enlivenment is on a completely different level. We return to heaven, becoming as one man and one heart. And what are we losing? We're losing heaven. We're even losing this life, where everyone's discontent with it. Both us, also our children. What are we giving them? It's a shame to have children. What are they getting? I hear from the younger generation that they don't want to have children, out of their good heart, because they're saying, what are we giving them? What world are we bringing them to? Why do this to them? It's better that if no child comes from my seed, I can have 1,000 children. And what? Which of them can later really tell me thank you for the life that they live? Hard question. So better that they stay as a seed, and that's that. Spouses that live in the state of the Garden of Eden and the state of heaven, what are the relations between them? Is there war? No. Completion. It's not for now what they attain, but they attain heaven. Is there a war between them? No, no war. There is completion above the evil which is revealed, where love covers for all crimes. But that already pertains the method of connection. Our time's up. We'll have to talk about it again. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.